Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim Daf Nun Zayin. We will begin on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, the top of the Amud at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues to discuss when different wording was used in expressing a neder, what is or isn't included in his declaration. So it teaches us the Mishnah, Koinim Peiris Ho'elu Olai. If somebody identified specific Peiris and he said that these fruits should be also to me, or he said, "Kainim heim." There were fruits laying in front of him, and he said, "Kainim heim." That these fruits should be also to me. Alpi, a kainim hei lefi. The halacha is not only may he not have hanor from the actual fruit, but the halacha is also b'chafeim. He's not allowed to have any hanor from anything that's exchanged for those fruit. That means if the fruits were sold and they got money for those fruits, the fruit is that money is usher. Or if there was a barter of exchanging these fruits for other fruits, so the other fruits will be usher. And the Rishonim point out is that this halacha that we're speaking here is speaking when we learn the Mishnah. We should recognize that we're speaking here about Nedarim. But when we speak about other halachas, whether it's Ol or Kali Karim, as we're going to be learning further, there's a difference between Dovish Zarakala, something that deteriorates, the seeds deteriorate when you plant them, versus Dovish Ein Zarakala that don't deteriorate. And those differences will be relevant when by other Isurim. So the Mishnah began by saying, Peiris Ho'elu Alai. So the Rosh says that even if he didn't use the word Elu, the same halacha would be applicable, that he's also b'chlufeyim u'gudaleyim. The reason, explains the Rosh, that the Tana felt the need to mention the word Elu, because if the Mishnah just said with koinim peiris alai, it would be self-understood that the gudaleyim and the chlufeyim are osur, explains the Rosh. And he explains why is it obvious? Because if you said Ho'elu, so by saying Ho'elu, you're limiting what you're making usher. And therefore, the Mishnah had to tell us what is or isn't included. But if you didn't use the word Elu, you just said Koin and Peiris, so obviously your intention is to make these Peiris entirely usher. And therefore, certainly the halacha would be, says the Rosh, that would be usher b'chulufeim and gudaleim. The Ritva explains that what is the Mishnah saying by saying koinim heim alpi, koinim heim lefi, because we would think by him mentioning his mouth in this nether, so he strictly speaks about being also to eat these particular fruits, and he's not looking and he's not intending to extend the Isser to the Gedulei Mechulfeyam. Teaches us the Mishnah that even when he used this type of language of alpi afi, it includes chilfeyim ugudaleim. The Rashba differentiates who made the chilfeyim. That if the person who made the nether made this exchange, that's when the halacha would be the chilfeyim or asur. But if it was done by somebody else, obviously points out the Rashba, not that I asked somebody to do it, but somebody else did it, then it would not be asur. The Ran disagrees, and the Ran says that doesn't make a difference who did the chalifin, whether it's the actual person who made the nether or someone else, the chalifin are always usur. Machlokes Rishonim, this issa that we're learning about chilufeim and gedulayim, according to Beis Yosef, is the issa deraisa. The midaraisa, the nether includes the chilufeim and the gedulayim. The Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says, only this Isser is only b'derabbanan. Furthermore, the Rashba makes the point that even though our Mishnah said that the Gedulim are Osir, that's only the Gedulim. But the Gedulim, if you already have a second generation Gedulim, the halacha is that they would be Mutter. Other Rishonim disagree, and they wanted the French. Some Rishonim disagree, and some Rishonim, again, as we said a moment ago, as we'll see soon, differentiate between Dovish Zarakala, where the seed that you plant deteriorates, versus something that doesn't deteriorate. And the same kind of machloikus that we have regarding the chalufi chalufim. Again, you got money, let's say, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, for these payrus that are asur. So that money is chalufin. So now you change that money further. The Rosh says that chalufi chalufin are asur, but the Karbon Nesanel disagrees, and the Karbon Nesanel actually says that there's a wrong girsa in the Rosh. The version that we have in the Rosh is that chalufin and chalufin are mutter. We don't find, says the Karbon Nesanel and Halacha, that Chazal were makban on chalufi chalufin. But it explains the Rishash, a concept that we've learned and will be, Mitzvah Shem, continuing to learn, that Nedarim are particularly strict in Halacha. And since Nedarim are particularly strict in Halacha, even though normally Halacha is not machmer on chalufi chalufin, when we speak about Nedarim, chalufi chalufin are included. If somebody, however, declared his neder by saying shani oichel v'shani toyim, so he added the word shani oichel v'shani toyim, still the halacha is muta b'chalufayim or b'gdolayim. There the halacha is that the chalufin and the term are muta. There's here a machlokes rishonim on this as well. When the Mishnah says here the muta b'chalufayim or b'gdolayim, what does the Mishnah mean to say? Does the Mishnah mean to say that l'chatchila you could exchange this food that you're not allowed to have anor from for something else and have the chalufim? You're l'chatchila allowed to plant it and have the gedulim? Or does the Mishnah only refer to if you have chalufim, if you have gedulim, not that you deliberately made them, then the halacha will be you could have anor from it? Says the Mishnah, this halacha that we learned, that when you said Koinem Peiris Elu, your halacha is Osa B'Gedoleim and Chalufim, that's only B'Dovah Shazara Kalai. As we said, the type of food that when you plant the seed in the ground, it deteriorates before it starts to grow anything new. And that typically is wheat, barley, many things, the seed deteriorates. And therefore, since the seed deteriorated, you're not really having any benefit from the actual fruit that you said is also to you. But if it's a fruit that the seed does not deteriorate, for example, onions, as we're going to be discussing, garlic, it remains osur forever, even the gedulei gedulim are osur. Interesting, machloikis rishonim. When the Mishnah now differentiated between Dovish Zarakala and Dovish Ein Zarakala and says that by Dovish Ein Zarakala, where the seed does not deteriorate, then the halacha is that it remains also even Gedulei Gedulim. Is that a halacha strictly by Gedulim? And it makes a lot of sense to say that, because Gedulim, since the seed never completely deteriorates, so when you have Gedulim, so then it's Gedulei Gedulim have still a connection to the original fruit that you said was also to you. But by Chalufin, we don't have that type of logic. And therefore, even though the Mishnah taught us, as we discussed, that Chalufin under certain circumstances are Asur, but Chalufi Chalufin would never be Asur. Or, since we don't find in the Mishnah that it differentiates in any case between Gedulim and Chalufim, so here too, if the Mishnah taught us the Gedulei Gedulim also, so too the halacha would be by Chalufei Chalufim. There's an interesting question. We know that a fruit juice, besides by grapes that produce wine, grape juice, or olives that produce olive oil, are not considered the actual fruit. And that's why we know the bracha is that we make a shahakal on fruit juice. So in our Mishnah, we've been discussing extensively what is the halacha of gedulim, something that grows out of something that I made usur. What is the halacha regarding juice? Will the halacha be that juice is no worse than gedulim? And just like we find by gedulim, the halacha is that the under the circumstances that we learned in our Mishnah, it's usur, so too would be the halacha on the juice. Well, since we see that the juice is not considered as like the essence of the fruit, the proof being that we don't make a shahakel, then the halacha is that we make a shahakel, not a bari preyetz. Maybe it should not be considered part of the fruit. It seems that the Paiskim say that by gedulim and chalufin, that if they're asur, certainly the juice which extracts from the fruit is asur. But the Ratvaz, and that seems to be the opinion of the Brisker Rav, the Ratvaz is not so comfortable in accepting such an opinion, because Ratvaz suggests that if they're not considered the fruit for the bracha, maybe they're not considered the fruit for the nether either. Says the Mishnah, Haimel Ishtoi, if somebody says to his wife, Kaina Masi Adecha, anything that you do should be also to me. If you cook or you bake or you do anything, anything you do should be also to me. Kaidim heim lafi, kaidim heim lafi, da loch obi, also bichlufeyem, ubigduleyem, it becomes also. An important point that we have to bring out in the chlufim and gedulim is why, even if there is, as we said before, when we speak about the gedulim, there's something left from that original seed, but it's certainly bottle. So if it's certainly bottle, why don't we just say that it's bottle and not have an issue? So the Rishonim answer, and we've discussed this and we'll continue discussing, that nedarim are considered a davar sheyesh lematirim. A nedar is something that could be mutter. You could be matter the nether and you wouldn't have any problem. And the halacha is that anything which is a davar sheyesh lematirim doesn't become bottle. So the Mishnah said, by saying ha'aymel ish the kainim, what he meant to say when he did it, what he meant to say was that not only the actual work, but anything that emanates from the work is also asur. If somebody said, shani oichel, shani toyim, he says that I won't have any benefit from oichel toyim, from what you cooked or prepared, mutar b'chlufeyem b'gduleyem, very much consistent with what we learned in the Reisha, the Mishnah. There it's clear that he only meant exactly what is in front of him, nothing else. And again, continues the Mishnah, Bedavish is our color. The Mishnah differentiates between something where the seed, where something, the seed deteriorates, but Bedavish, Aval Davish ends our color, where the seed does not deteriorate. So that means this fruit or this work that she did for me is still here, and that's why it's asur. Says the Mishnah another case. Sha'at oisa, any oichel ad Pesach, anything that you have done, any food that you've cooked, I won't eat till Pesach. Sha'at oisa, any clothing that you've sewn, any miskasa ad Pesach, I won't wear until Pesach. Asur lefnei Pesach, anything that she made before Pesach, mutar lecha l'skasas achra Pesach, the halacha will be that she could wear this clothing or eat this food after Pesach. Because he clearly said that that's what he meant. Even though we could explain that what he meant to say was that I will never have hanor from anything that you're preparing, food or clothing, till Pesach. But that is not clearly what he meant to say. The fact that if that was what he wanted to say, then he wouldn't have used the words ad Pesach. And we wouldn't say, because the question that the Rishonim posed is maybe what he meant to say is that anything that you make till Pesach should be also forever. But he would not have expressed himself that way. Because if he meant to say that anything you're making before Pesach should be also for me forever, this expression that he said, any oichel at a Pesach, would not be the way. He would rather have said, shat ois at a Pesach, anything that you make before Pesach, any oichel, I won't eat from. And going back to a concept that keeps on coming up in our shurim, when it comes to nedarim, the Ran says this, when it comes to nedarim, we look at the way he expresses himself and the way people normally express themselves. And the expression that he's been using in our Mishnah, the declaration that he's using in the wording of our Mishnah, is a declaration that refers to a situation that anything that will be made that he won't have a nor till Pesach, not that it means forever. But let's say he said, Sha'at oichel ad Pesach, anything that you make till Pesach, any oichel I won't eat, v'sha'at ois ad Pesach, and it won't, anything you make before Pesach, any miskasa. Here, he meant to say that anything that you're going to be manufacturing, food or clothing, during this period should be also for me forever. That's the way this type, that's what this wording typically means. So here the halacha will be, also so, lefnei Pesach, anything that she made, whether it's the food or the clothing, also lechol uskasas achar Pesach, he can never have any benefit and never have any anor from it ever. Says the Mishnah. Another case. But in this case, we've discussed this case earlier in our Masechta on Daf Tes Zayin, the way he expressed himself was with a Tanai, where he said, "Sh'at nenesli ad Pesach, im halachas ad lebeis avicha ad chag. You can't have any benefit from me from till Pesach if you go to your parents' home till Sukkot." So the halacha is, olcho lefnei Pesach, if she went to her parents' home before Pesach, asura b'anosa ad Pesach. She did not fulfill the condition, and since she did not fulfill the condition, the nether kicks in. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, as I said in Daf Tes Vav, the halacha is that Rabbi Yehuda taught us that she should not eat anything till Pesach. Even though if she won't go, she will not have any problem with eating anything because she didn't violate the condition. Rabbi Yehuda, early in the Masechta, taught us that people are typically not that careful with conditions attached to Nedarim, and therefore we have to be concerned that she's not going to be careful about this condition, and therefore the halacha is she shouldn't have any hanor. But if she did violate, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, or according to Rav Nachman, who doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda, she did violate, then the halacha is that she can't have hanor till Pesach. Lacha Pesach, and if she didn't go to her parents' home before Pesach, but she had benefits from something from her parent, from her husband before that time, if she'll go to her parents' home la'acha Pesach, before Sukkot, b'yachol, because she'll be over b'yachol, because she wasn't allowed a benefit if she's going to go to her parents' home. Similarly, somebody said to his wife, at nenesli erchag, you can't have any benefit from me till Sukkot, and malachas at lebeis avich ad Pesach. If you go to your parents' home before Pesach, and hochlofnei Pesach, she went before Pesach, asura b'ano, then she can't have any benefit. But if she goes after Pesach, that isn't a violation of the condition, and therefore she could have benefit from him. The Ran says that this second halacha that we just learned really doesn't represent a chiddush. The reason the Mishnah mentioned it, because in the previous case, if she goes to her parents' home after Pesach and she had eaten or benefited from him before Pesach, she'll be over bal yachal. So she's not allowed to go, in that case, to her parents' home after Pesach until Sukkot. Here, she may go. But since here, she may go, that's why the Mishnah wanted to contrast the two cases, and that's why it was mentioned in the Mishnah, even though it doesn't represent any big chiddush. And as we learned, the Tosfos Yom Tov says the reason she's not allowed to go in the first case have benefit from him because we're worried that she's going to violate the nether. So there's a very, very big machlokes here, Rishonim, a fundamental machlokes. The reason she's not allowed to benefit from him is because he made the nether. So a nether, when somebody violates a nether, the lav that they're over, the lav that they violate, the reason they got malchus, because they're over the lav in the Torah, lo yachal dvarei b'yachal, that you're not allowed to profane what you said. But she didn't say anything. It was the husband that made the nether. So why should she get malchus? So therefore there's a very big machlokes rishonim, when the nether, as in the examples that we just learned in the Mishnah, was violated, who will get the malchus? The Rambam says the husband who made the nether will get the malchus. He's the one that made the nether. His nether was violated, and then he will get the malchus. The Ran disagrees, and the Ran says that she will get the malchus. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong, so why should he get the malchus? And the Gra in the Sefer Mishnas Elio explains the Machloikis. He says, the opinion that holds that the person who made the nether gets the Malkus is because that's what the Torah says. Bal Yachel Devaroi, my word I may not profane, and his word is being profaned. The other man, the Amos, says that the nether, since the Torah gave us the authority to make a nether under the circumstances like we just learned in our Mishnah, that affects another person, what the Torah is also saying that since I halachically may make such a nether, if the person violates the nether, he's over bal yachal, or she. So we just learned in the Mishnah starts the Gemara, ha'imelish dekayna mas yedecha alai, kayna mehem lepi, kayna mehem elefi, the halachas in all these cases, also b'chlefeim u'gudaleim. So our Gemara begins to discuss a situation where something you have, a fruit that you have that's usur, it's shmita, it's truma, it's orla, it's klayim, and now you plant it, and there's additional growth to what you planted. What is the halacha, what is the halachic status of that fruit that grows? Says the Gemara, Yishmol ish kfar yama, family ish kfar dima. Hela biyodai. So Duran explains hela biyodai means that he asked the following question. The other Rishonim say that Rabbi Shmuel, what happened was, pulled out of the ground such a fruit, and I said, now that I have this fruit in front of me, I have a halachic question, what can I do with this fruit? Batzel she'akar b'shvius. The question was that you had an onion that was pulled out of the ground in the Shemitah year. And since when we speak about vegetables, onions, the halacha is that when we speak about vegetables, they are considered Shemitah produce based on the Shas Lakita, based on the time they were extracted from the ground. And now, v'nata b'sheminis, I planted it in the Shemitah, in the eighth year, where it's not a Shemitah year. V'rabba gedulav alikroi, and so much more grew to this onion that you have more growth from the eighth year than from the Shemitah year. And the question that he posed was, Gidulov Heter, the extra that grew here is Mutter, because it's from the year after Shemitah. V'ikroi, but the onion that I began with is Osir, because it's a Shemitah onion. Do we say, Kivin the rubber Gidulov Me'ikra, since the part that grew extra in this eighth year is more than the part that we started off with, so then the halacha will be also gedulei het the malanus iser, that what grew in the eighth year, which is, as we keep on repeating, perfectly permissible, will be mevatel what grew in the seventh year, the Shemitah. Eloi, it doesn't have that halacha. And as the Ran explains, the Gemara's question is a many-fold question. One question is, do we say that the gedulim are mevatel the iker? And since the gedulim mevatel iker, the gedulim mutter and the iker mutter, do we say that they remain separate, and therefore the gedulim will be mutter and the iker will be usur? Or do we say, perhaps just the other way, that since the gedulim emanate from the iser, so not only would the iser, the seventh year part, be usur, but even the gedulim, which grew in the eighth year, will be usur as well? So says the Gemara, Osla kameh de Rav Ami. So Yishmol ish kfar yama came with this question to Rav Ami, and while you have a biyada, he wasn't able to answer the question. Osla kameh de Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. So he brought this question to Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Pashalei min hada. So he answered the question from this statement that Rav Yani made. Amrav Chanina Trisa, Amrav Yani, Batzel shat truma. A batzel of truma that has all the halacha of truma that may only be eaten by kohanim. It may only be eaten by tahara, shenata. And then you plant it, v'ravo gedula v'ikroi, and now you have the gedulim are more than the onion that we began with, mutter. The halacha will be that not only may you eat the gedulim, but the halacha is that you're even allowed to eat the ikr, and that means a yisrael whose tameh will be allowed to eat it. So the Karen Oira asks the question that there's a concept which comes up often in Chas, particularly Masechta Chulin, that kol ayotzim and atamei tamei, anything that emanates from something that's tamei is tamei. So why should the gedulim that emanate from Truman al Gemara not be considered truma because the yoytzim min atam, the yoytzim min atruma. So he answers that when you plant a vegetable in the ground, there's so many factors to contribute that this new vegetable will come out. And therefore, you have the air, and you have the ground, and you also have the original onion. So since you have all of these different factors, this new onion, the gedulim, are considered a beri chadosha, they're considered something entirely new, and therefore we don't have this consideration of a yotze min hatama. The question that the Rishonim ask, that why over here, why didn't Rav Yitzchak have to take a serious approach? Because we have a suffix, and suffix deraisa l'chumra, and Shemitah is deraisa. So the Achroinim answer that we're speaking here about Shemitah b'zman hazeh, and b'Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only b'drabonim. So Taisus asks, the Mishnah Masechta Trumas actually teaches us the gedulei truma truma, and the reason is because Chazal were concerned if you're going to be able to plant truma and change it, as we're learning now, you may hold on to your truma and not eat it properly. So what is our Gemara going to do with our Mishnah? So Tosfos answers that we're going to have to say because of that our Mishnah is not speaking about actual gedulei truma. It's talking about, that this Gemara is not talking about gedulov, it's talking about gedulei gedulim. The Mishnah, the halacha we also said, is speaking about a case of rabbi gedulov, that there's more gedulim from the eighth year than the ikar from the seventh year, from the Shemitah year. So what is the proper ratio? So the Rosh says that the proper ratio for the ikar truma, for it to become bottle, has to be 100 to 1. Because the shear by truma has always a ratio of 100 to 1. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam says that in this case, roiv would be adequate. Amalei Rav Yimiya, Yitem Rav Zreika, Shavak Man Train, have you ignored the opinion of two Amaroim, Vavik Echad? In other words, he asked them, how could you paskin like Rav Yanai, there are two Amaroim that disagree? Says the Gemara, Man Ni Train. Who are the two Amaroim that disagree with Rav Yanai? Says the Gemara, Dama Ravua Amar Rav Yochanan, Yalda Shesucha B'Zakeina. You have a tree that isn't yet 3 years after it planted. And we know that any fruit that grows from a tree in the first 3 years is Orla. And now you grafted that tree, B'Zakeina, with a tree that's past 3 years old, or Bar Peris. And in the young tree, there are fruits. So now the question is, how do we look at the fruit? The halacha is, the Af Pishay Sifa Masayim, even though you have now a ratio of 200 of the new fruit versus the Arla fruit, and the sheer abittal by Arla is always 200, here, still it will be Asr. And so we see clearly that the Gedulim, Even though they're mevatel, the isser, the halacha is that they're still usser, not like Rav Yanai. So that's one amira. V'am Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Am Rav Yonason, another case. Batzel shenotel bekerem. You planted your onion in a vineyard. So you are over the lav of kalei kerem. V'neka kerem, and now you took out all the vineyards, you took out all of the grape trees. Usser. The batzel remains usser b'hanoah. Even though now that you took out the grape trees, the extra growth of the onion is 200. Again, that's the ratio to the original. It's still not bottle. So we see that two places that even though you have gedulim that are permissible and they have the proper ratio, they're still not mevatel the iser. Not only are they not mevatel the iser, but they themselves become Asr, says the Gemara. So had Asr kamei Rav Ami. So Rav Shaul Yishmol Ish Kfar Yoma that began with this question, now says the Gemara, came to Rav Ami. Pashtim min Hadar. He answered the question that this piece of Gemara began with, that what is the halacha if you planted the Shemitah onion in the eighth year, what will be the halacha? You have an amount, a liter of onion that you took off trumas and maisris, the zara, and then you planted it, and now it grows. And the extra part that grows, obviously, you have not taken off trumas and maisris from. The halacha is mesaseris lefi kulay. You have to take off maisr now after you pick it, not from everything, from the extra part that grew and from the original. Alma, what do we see from here? Oysa gedulim mevatel meikar. That the gedulim, if they're the majority, are mevatel the ikar. And that, says Rabbi Shmuel, is why I say that it should be mevatel. Says the Gemara, that is not a raya. Because in the question that Rabbi Shmuel posed, by saying that the gedulim are mevatel the ikar, that means that the produce, the extra part that grew in the eighth year after Shemitah, is mevatel what is the Shemitah produce, we're going to end up with a kula, and it won't be have to be treated like Shemitah produce. In this case, the gedulim are what is usur. There was no truma maisis removed from the gedulim. And the result will be just the opposite. That if we that the gedulim, if they're considered the ikar, they're considered what we primarily look at, they're mevatel dikar, and you have to take trumas and maisers from the whole thing. Since it results in a chumrah, so therefore that's why we're machmer. But we don't have a raya, what will be the halacha if it was the other way around, where a result of saying this concept, we would end up a kula. There's a machlokes rishonim, when something like we just described happened, where should you take maisa from? Because if you take maisa from something else, you may be over that you may be taking min aptor al achiyah, min achiyah al aptor, and because of that, the Rashba says that you should take maisa, that you shouldn't take maisa from it itself, because we're not sure. We should take maisa from this, from something which is certainly chayiv. The Ran actually disagrees. And the Ran says the safest bet is to take the maisa, even though normally the halacha is you could take maisa from something else. Here you can't. Of course, this Gemara is the basis of a question that many, many poskim discuss, and that is the question about esroigim that are merkavim. What is the halacha if you have an esrog tree, which is not necessarily a very strong tree, that you graft into that esrog tree a lemon? What will be the halachic status of an esrog that goes from that tree? And if we learn this Gemara the way we just learned, that the Yalda Shazifcha Bezkena, it becomes one tree, and that's why the halacha is, when we learned the halacha of Yalda Shazifcha Bezkena, the halacha is that the entire tree is considered Orla, and you have to take off Orla from all of it. So maybe what that means to say, as suggests Avni Nezer, is that that tree now is an Esther tree, Archaim Simen Top Pei Hei. But most Rishonim, most Paiskim have the opinion that Esrog HaMurkav should certainly not be used and certainly not be made as a bracha, even if it's mostly Esrog. We also discussed here in our Gemara what is the halacha when something emanated from Isser and Heter. That's the primary discussion of our Gemara. And the question that the Paiskim discuss is that there are grass and there are flowers that grow in a cemetery. And the halacha is that we're not allowed to have any benefit from a mace or anything that is connected to a mace. So could somebody pick those flowers and use them or sell them? So the Maria Asad in the Chuvis, Yehuda Yalad, Yalach, Chelek Aleph Yerideya, Simon Shin, Samach Gimel discusses this. And he takes a lenient approach. He says, certainly, any flowers that don't grow within Dalar Amis of the Kever, there's no question. But even those that grow, he says a very interesting concept. He says that the vegetables or flowers or anything that grow, what makes them grow is the high upper level of the ground. But a mace is typically buried at least shisha tfachim, six tfachim in the ground. And therefore, he says they're not really benefiting from where the mace is. So he says maybe it wouldn't be, but he concludes that maybe it wouldn't be an issa deraisa, but it's certainly an issa derabbanan It's certainly necessary the Rabbanon to benefit from those kind of flowers or anything that grows in a cemetery. There is an interesting question that the Paiskim discuss, that if somebody, Rechman Tzlan Le'Aleinu, is sick on Shabbos and he needs to eat a cooked food, if it's a Chayla She'esh Be'Sakana, then we're allowed to cook it and he's allowed to eat it. Now the question is, if the food, if somebody had to cook raw meat, you start with raw meat and you cooked it for the Chayla, the halach is that piece of meat, given that it was a piece of raw meat before Shabbos, is muksa. But the question that the Paiskim discuss is, let's say you had a fruit on the tree, and the fruit on the tree is obviously muksa, but the person who's taking care of this sick person knew that he's going to have to pull off that fruit on Shabbos. And by pulling off, by knowing that and designating that that fruit is going to be used on Shabbos, we don't have a problem of muksa on the actual fruit. But we do have a problem because we made that designation Friday afternoon. We picked the fruit on Shabbos. The fruit that we picked on Shabbos grew a little over Shabbos. And if it grew a little over Shabbos, that part that grew, you couldn't have designated and that it shouldn't be muksa because it wasn't even existent. What is going to be a halacha regarding that fruit? Do we say that the fruit is mostly heter? How much extra grew over Shabbos? Or do we say that it's not bottle? So, Tosis, in Masecht Baba Kama, Daf Samach Tesom and Aleph, the Remaskul Kola Nilted Mizeh, discusses the situation where fruit grew on the tree during the fourth year, which we know that fruit has to either be brought to Yerushalayim or that fruit should be redeemed for money and the money should be taken to Yerushalayim. What will be the halacha, says Taisus, when somebody did that redemption already while the fruit was still on the tree? And now he wants to pick the fruit and eat the fruit because he already redeemed it as the halacha prescribes. Taisus says that there's extra that grew on that fruit from when I did the redemption. Taisus says that it, on one hand, it's bottle, it's a small amount, but on the other hand, it's a davar she'esh lematirin, because I could do the redemption again. Therefore, says Taisus, you can't just say that the extra that grew is bottle, but rather Taisus says you would have to do the pinyon again. Based on this Taisus, the Rama, going back to the case that we discussed, the fruit that was designated before Shabbos that I'm going to need to pick for the chayla, is still going to be muksa. Why is it going to be muksa? Because the extra part that grew, I couldn't possibly designate before Shabbos. And I don't say bittel because it's davar she'esh lematirin. Because I don't have to eat this fruit on Shabbos. I could eat the fruit on Matzah Shabbos and not rely on bittel. The Magen Avraham disagrees with the Rama, and there is Shainim that disagree with Tosfos. Says that the halacha of davar she'esh lematirin is only applicable when we have two fruits. One fruit is mutter, or we have more than two fruits, but we have some fruit that's mutter and some fruit that's asr. And there's a question, do we say bittel, don't we say bittel, under what circumstances do we say bittel? And there's a halacha by davar she'esh lematirin, we don't say bittel. Davar she'esh lematirin afil be'elof le'botel. Here we're not talking about two separate fruits. Here we're talking about one fruit. And since we're speaking about one fruit, there is no concept of a she'esh lematirin. What is this machlokes really connected to? A concept that we've discussed and the Mitzvah Shem will continue discussing. Why is a davar she'esh lematirin not bottle? So Rashi's opinion is, atcha techlena be'issa techlena be'heter, that when instead of having a question and eating this fruit, which maybe I may eat, maybe I may not eat, wait till Matzah Shabbos in this case, and then you wouldn't have a question. You'll let eat the fruit without any question. And that's why, even in this case, Tosfos, the Rama, will say that this is an example of davar she'esh lematirin, and it doesn't become bottle. On the other hand, the Magen Avraham is going to agree with the Ran. And the Magen Avraham's opinion is going to be that the Ran says that the reason
Dovah Shesh Matinah is not Batal is because the two objects are very similar to each other, and that's why we don't say Bittal. But that's only, perhaps, when we have two separate objects. When we don't have two separate objects, everybody would agree there is no concept of Dovah Shesh Matinah, as the Magen Avraham and others say.